The stocks discussed on PTS Radio are not in any way a solicitation or recommendation to buy, sell, or hold. If considering acting on information presented, we recommend that you seek out a licensed professional for advice. Get ready for the radio show that is all about trading. It's your weekly dose about how to trade your account. Here is your host, Mel Raymond.
Here we are on an absolutely beautiful day in Atlanta, Georgia. I think summer has finally arrived. We're now back in the 80s and the air conditioning's on. And those of you that are coming to the course in a week, I think you'll enjoy it. Welcome to PTS Radio, the broadcast that's all about trading. I'm Mel Raymond, and we have a great broadcast for you today. We have a lot of things to cover. If this is your first time listening to PTS Radio, we typically begin each broadcast by taking a look at the results of the PTS setups and comp setups for last week. That information, if you'd like to look at it and follow along, is on the PTS Radio page. If you're at the website, you'll just follow the links to PTS Radio. If you're not at the website, it's ptsradio.com and follow the links. This was really a great week. It was very volatile, and we had a lot of good trades, close to 30, I guess 27, the best being for $9.04 in FRT. And that was followed closely by a lot of very good trades, $7.54, $6.15 on Apollo. Apollo being the University of Phoenix. It's a school stock, and it's a trader stock. EQIX gave us two trades, long and short, one for 472 short and 427 long, and so it goes. Great week. We had plenty of opportunities to make a lot of money. I want to mention something before I forget it. One of our traders who gets the PTS setups wrote to me during the week. I won't mention any names. And he was pretty upset because he lost money on ARE. It was the day it went short. I guess it was Tuesday. And I said, how can you lose money when the stock did exactly what we said it's going to do? In fact, we kind of kid about that, and we call that snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Nonetheless, we looked at it and said, how could that happen? Well, the way it happened was he set a stop. I think more money is lost by people setting stops than in trading in the wrong direction. He set a 40-cent stop and walked away. Big mistake. If you're going to be there, don't even set a stop. Just know where you're going to leave. If you've got to go away, you better set your stop at a place where you know you're fairly safe. You better check out. There is a test, you know, for sweeps. Now, I know you all know what sweeps are. That's when the market makers or specialists all of a sudden run the price up or down, sometimes as much as $8 or $10. And you can see that on the spiders. They do that half a dozen times a day. But you can see that by watching a chart with candles. And if you see long wicks sticking out, sort of like porcupine quills, those are sweeps. And if you see a stock that does that routinely, you cannot safely set a stop on that stock. Well, now that I said that, let's take a look at how the comps did. AEM produced $4.89 as a long, and I wrote there as a swing trade. That is, if you were following a long chart and didn't get shaken out, you got $4.89. There was a logical place to go out after it made $3.03, so that's up to you what your style of trading is. ETR was a short. It gave us $3.74. We've got some good setups, and we will go over them on this broadcast. Now, we always take a look at the markets, so let's see what's going on. And the first thing we're going to look at is the SPX, Standard & Poor 500 Index. And then I'm going to go over what's going on in terms of sentiment, news, and that sort of thing, because it's pretty confusing right now. This is not the normal week. We haven't seen normalcy in a long time. What do you hear if you watch the news or listen to the news or watch TV or CNBC? We're overbought. We're grossly overbought. And I'm looking at the charts, and the charts don't show we're grossly overbought. We're really not. In the time frame we're working, the week is running a very tepid RSI of 80. It does have resistance just above it at the 32-week moving average. If it goes through that, it could go up well over 1,000. The other charts are not grossly overbought. They have lots of room to move. Now again, and I mentioned this last week, many of the stocks are very overbought on the weekly chart, but the other charts show no sign of breaking down. So that makes it even more difficult for us. Now, you know, when they start saying it could break down, we're grossly overbought, it's as if they're wishing a crash on us. Maybe they are. Maybe there will be. We need to be ready. That's why PTS setups are dual trigger, long and short triggers on the same equity or ETF. I'm going to answer another question right now while I'm remembering it. People write to me during the week, and one typical question is, if you use PTS software, can you look at anything besides the PTS setups on it? Of course. The PTS setups and the PTS course and software are completely separate. The setups are a service for traders that would like to have a setup service, but if you have the software and you've had the training, you can do your own setups. It's up to you. They're totally separate. The software can be used to trade Forex, futures, stocks, options, ETFs, anything that's price related, and you can get a signal or a feed from the broker can be traded with PTS in any time frame. Scalping, day trading, position day trading, swing trading, and position trading. Now, I hope that clears the air. I need to mention that we are a week away from the PTS course, which will be held on May 4th and 5th at the Airport Westin, the Atlanta Airport. We will do our darndest to get a broadcast and some setups out next weekend. It's going to be really hectic because we leave for the course ourselves on Sunday. Those of you that are coming in, and we have people coming from India, Thailand, all over the place, we really look forward to being with you for a couple of days and working with you. This is one of the highlights of my life. I'm a former college professor and I love to teach. How do I make my living? Trading. Therefore, there won't be another course till next fall. So if you're planning on taking the PTS course, this is your last chance for about 6 months. Because between the course coming up and next fall, I intend to do a lot of trading because I think there's going to be a lot of activity in the markets. Now, I would like to direct your attention back to the PTS radio page on the website, and you will see a chart, SPX Daily S&P 500 Index. I put in some key support and resistance areas, and you'll notice that we've been channeling for a few days. That is a daily chart. We've been sort of stuck in this little channel. Has it been higher? Well, it was a lot higher in January. You can see also that this is an area where we are now that it failed in January and went down a little bit, and then it really failed in February and dropped like a rock down below 700. So now we're back there again. That's what I meant by this being very interesting. We have to get above that line. It closed at, says 866. I don't know if that's accurate because I was getting a bad feed this weekend. Okay, a quick check shows me that it's fairly close. So we need to get, we're at a decision point, or maybe we're just going to channel and go up and down a little bit for another week or two. Kind of think it's been doing it long enough. I think we may break out, or we may break down, or there may be a very sharp correction. We keep saying that. We haven't had it yet. Maybe this is the week. We haven't been above this point since about mid-January. Now, let's talk about the economy and whether the market deserves to get above this point. One of the so-called experts that I read every week thinks the correction has begun. He writes, overbought conditions have persisted to an extent that was untenable, and so they must be worked off. Yeah, we do have a lot of overbought stocks. We really do, particularly if you look at the weeks. The question remains, though, as to whether the correction is a mild sideways affair or something far more nasty to the downside. Now, personally, I think we're going to have a sharp correction, and then we're going to climb again. I think the big one's not going to hit till summer, but I've been known to be wrong. The SPX clearly ran into resistance 875, 880, which I just showed you. And if this area is eventually breached to the upside, it would be very bullish. After all, correction bearish scenarios would have to be set aside. Now, I understand technically what he's saying. I just don't understand how anybody could justify running anything up in this economy, but I do understand it in the sense that there's so much misinformation floating around that they seem to have people convinced that we're coming out of this recession, better known in my house as a depression, which we're not. And of course, there's support down near 830, 810 area, and then around 780 to 790 in the SPX, and so on. Market breadth does remain extremely overbought at this time, although it was clearly the volatility indexes, the VIX and the VXO, that remain in downtrends. Yes, they do, and that's very bullish. The VIX is, at this point, not very helpful. It's not giving clear signals. It's just sort of drifting down. In summary, the market needs to work off the overbought condition, and that's where we think we'll get that sharp correction right now. I don't know what it's going to take to convince people that our economy really is over at the moment. No, as I mention all the time, I do a lot of reading, and here's one about the International Monetary Fund, and it says they issued a gloomy outlook Wednesday predicting that the global economy will shrink by 1.3% in 2009, and they think this global recession will last through the rest of this year. Yes, I agree. And the year after, and the year after, and the year after. I don't think this is a recession. I think it's a depression. Remember from past broadcasts, you can come out of a recession. A depression means something is broken, and you have to come in with a completely new system. Now, another newsletter I get, called The Right Side, had an interesting article in Traders versus Investors. And he says, traders don't care about the companies they trade. Did you hear that? They don't care. If they cared, would they ever buy Apollo, which makes not too much money, has a million lawsuits, and on and on and on. They're just not a very solid company, but people love to trade them. Okay, so that's because traders don't care. They don't care about stock prices reflecting underlying fundamentals, and they don't care about the long-term consequences of their short-term aims. They are a necessary market force and serve to regulate long-term trends, but they should never be at the helm for any length of time. Oh, really? Well, I think that's about all we have running things at the moment, our traders. What then happens? You find markets trading up one day and down the next. Yes, I love it. Of course, this person is quite upset because he's an investor. That type of directionless volatility is the type of thing that keeps proper investors away. Yes, and it keeps traders in cash. So anyway, I thought you'd get a kick out of that. Theo Casey wrote it. He's quite upset, but I'm not. Of course, what would a broadcast be without mentioning my favorite stock market expert, Bill Bonner? And he writes, is the bounce still bouncing? Well, we don't know, but we don't trust it. They say the stock market looks ahead, so it is possible for it to see things we can't see. On the other hand, what was it looking at 2 years ago? Didn't it see the economy going over a cliff? Apparently not. But investors tend to believe what they want to believe, and what they want to believe is that the stock market has had its vision corrected and now sees a recovery. Our guess is that they are wrong on both scores. The stock market is just as blind now as it was in early 2007, and there is no recovery coming anytime soon. As to the first point, we have no further evidence to present. But as to the second, at least we have a theory. By our reckoning, this is not a recession. This is a depression. In a recession, the bull market formula still works. It just needs a little time to rest, catch its breath, work off inventories, and rebuild cash accounts. But in a depression, the formula stops working. My only caution to you, many of you are my friends, they're graduates of our course, is to try to ignore the nonsense you hear on TV. For some reason, they want this to be the end and everything's going to reverse. It's not going to happen. The real economists are talking about an L bottom and remaining on the bottom for at least another decade or more. A lot has to happen to build a new economy in the United States, in Europe, and throughout the world. The United States in particular has hemorrhaged its manufacturing jobs. They're almost non-existent. We have a lot of young people coming up now. We can train them all we want. Just where do we think they're going to go to work? We just can't tax one group and give it to the other. Well, that's what we're doing now, and think that's an economy. We have nothing to stimulate because we've lost it. We've lost our manufacturing base. We don't make anything anymore. So there's some major issues to be addressed. I'm sorry to say, at the end of 100 days of the new administration, they have not been addressed. To me, the first 100 days have been a huge, huge waste of money. We have debt that we can't even satisfy the interest on, and it's been a big waste in that we haven't addressed the real issues that need to be addressed. So I see some pretty serious times ahead, If you're a trader, as I am, I'm prepared to ride down the markets until the Dow is at 1,000. I think that's going to start. That process is going to start this summer. Well, now that I've got you all cheered up, and you should be because there's a lot of money that's going to be made, we'll take just a few minutes and answer some questions. The first one from Jim is, what style are the setups? Somebody had once mentioned on the message board that Mel is a swing trader. Well, actually, I do a lot of day trades and a lot of swing trades, and occasionally I'll hold an option for a long period of time. I'll position trade, as I expect I will be doing fairly soon. The setups require by us that they have the potential to make at least a few points. Very often that means an overnight hold. So if you look at the results on the PTS radio page, you'll see lots of day trades, but many of these setups follow through and we hold them over to at least to the next day, at least till they reach their targets or PTS software says this is the appropriate place to exit. We're getting a strong reversal. It's time to leave. Another thing that I did want to mention was that we're working on a list now of long-term trades. That's not something we've done, at least not for the past year, year and a half. And since we are getting overbought, there's going to be some potential. And I don't know when these trades will kick in. It may be that we have to wait till June or July. But we're going to start our list. Well, we already have the list, and we're going to put some numbers on them and periodically update them. There's a lot of pressure right now with the course coming up in a week, but I expect that we'll start the list out possibly as early as Monday or Tuesday. You'll start to see that list. It'll be separate from the regular setups, and this is for somebody who wants to hold or is willing to hold for a week or 2 weeks or a month or whatever it takes to get the very, very big moves. These long-term setups will be very appropriate for people who have JOBs and cannot sit on top of these trades all the time. We have a question here from Lynn. It's a good one. It's, unfortunately, a very difficult one, but I'll go ahead and read it. There have been many statements about not allowing losses and taking the money rather than waiting and having a significant loss. However, how do I tell, or how do you tell, if it's the real reversal or just noise? How can I tell a legitimate entry to the start of the run versus noise and a false entry into a head fake? Len, there are a lot of ways we can start to answer this. The first has to do with the setups that you use. If you're using a lot of very short charts, you're going to be more apt to get head faked. That's what we're trying to avoid. If I'm watching a 15 and it's kind of iffy, for example, for an entrance, very often I'll watch the 30 also to make sure it's going with me, and then I'll start to trade out. I'll watch it at least to make sure that it gets going. While I'm doing that, I want to see the other charts in places that make sense. So, for example, if I'm going to get a confirmed long trigger on a 30, but the week is in the middle of a short, that's a contrarian trade, and that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, Len. But very often it's a matter simply of following a shorter chart up, and if it fails, just get out. It didn't make it. But if you see the volume coming in and it's working, you're getting good signals, you're probably okay. You can't win every trade, and it's very hard to give an example because unfortunately they're not all the same. But on any trade I see go, I can almost always tell, this is for real, this is not for real. This is in the wrong place, this is in the right place. I'll give you one more example. Suppose you're getting a confirmed 30, but your next longest chart maybe is a 78 or a 90, and it's somewhere in the middle of the channel. And you say, that is not the right place for that to go long. I'm not going to take this. This is probably a head fake. So it's kind of knowing your way around the platform. This is the sort of thing we're teaching at the course now, and it doesn't seem to be that much of an issue. Len, thanks a lot. By the way, almost all the trades that trigger will make something, 50 cents, 90 cents, a dollar, something. So if you're watching it during those initial stages and it fails, you've made some money. Go ahead and take it and get out. You can tell when they're failing. And I wish I had you sitting next to me and I could give you some chart examples. Now, here's a little note to our options traders, especially those of you who are doing setups. I've had a problem finding good underlying equities that have good options. So one of the things you need to get in the habit of doing, and I'm trying to do it, is if I see a stock about to make a good move, but I really want to do the option, I keep an option chain open. The first thing I look at is open interest on the strike that I'm interested in and the delta I'm interested in. So I might see, well, here's a delta at 67 and I like it a lot. Open interest is nothing, or 100 or 50. I like to see 1,000 or more. You know, I really like to see a lot of activity. Very often I'll just pass on the stock if I'm an options trader and I'm planning an options trade. Eventually you'll get a list of stocks that have good options without crazy spreads. Now the other thing I've been looking at is high volume options, but often they're on stocks that don't make big moves. So if the stock itself only moves 50 cents, I don't care if there are 18 gabillion people as part of the open interest. I have to see a move also. So really we're not dealing with that many, pardon the pun, options. Stocks such as MasterCard or Visa will have high liquidity, a lot of open interest, a lot of volume on the options, and that's what we're going to need to look for. A lot of them don't. So if you're getting the setups, we've probably pre-screened them. It's been extremely difficult because there are not a lot of good setups around right at the moment. The stocks are sort of languishing. They are getting overbought on the week, and they're kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. Now let's take a few minutes and take a look at the complimentary setups for the coming week. The first one we give you is Apollo. That's APOL. It's a school, a proprietary school. It's a private business. Has a daily range of $3.88, which is quite extensive. That's a big average true daily range. It's trading below all the major moving averages. It's in a downtrend. Now, with a trader stock like Apollo, it could bounce. So don't discount the possibility of a long. Let's take a look at the charts. If you have the charts, take a look at them. All your long-term charts are heading down. And it looks to me as if it's going to open down Monday morning. There was a lot of selling, but again, that's on Friday. So you never know. It could turn around. But right now, it looks like it's heading down on every single chart I'm looking at. I don't think there's any question about this. You can see support if you look at the week. It's way down in the low 50. It's 10 points below here. There is some support around $54, $55. But at some point, they will run it up. Do you notice on Friday, if you look at the 30-minute chart, they bounced it. And it opened at $59.97, and it went almost to $63. And then it reversed and headed back. So they oscillate that way. Look at a 78 or a 90. You'll notice that it runs up, and then it makes a lower low. Then it makes a lower high, then it makes a lower low. That's why it's important that if you're a day trader, you time your way in, or a swing trader, because some of these will last more than a day, or they'll start in the afternoon and run to the next day. But you don't want to come in the wrong place on one of these. Now you're in the right place to go short. We're getting down kind of at the bottom of a 240. But we're not ready yet. If you're running an RSI, what do we run? Two periods, three periods, I guess. It's only a 49, so there's a long way to go. Same thing with the daily chart. Even though it seems pretty low, the RSI is 46. So there's plenty of room to drop. You could short this almost anywhere, and if you're willing to wait long enough, you'll ultimately win. But if you don't time your way in properly on the short charts, then your first day or two are going to be days of pain. So we're trying to give you the right numbers so that won't happen to you. The second stock we give you is EOG, big company. It's crude petroleum, natural gas, average true daily range of $3.39. They have earnings next Monday, not this week. So you have a week before earnings. Sometimes traders will give you a hint. They'll run it up, or they'll run it down before earnings. If you do get involved with that, get out by Friday, because once earnings are announced, never hold into earnings. I won't go into all the repercussions of that. I wrote that it's overbought on the 240, but well below the March high. It could run up another 2 or 3 points before reversing. Anything related to gasoline could run up at any time. I know the word is that the price of gasoline is ultimately going to triple. So we're going to be looking at $6 gas. I don't know when that's going to happen. but they're running off the supply right now. They've got a little excess, but they're not replenishing it. They're going to let it run out. Then they're going to have a crisis, and then they're going to have a shortage, and then they're going to run the price up. You know the drill. And if that doesn't work, they always have a rebel attack on the Nigerian oil fields. That seemed to work pretty well last time. So I never turn my back on oil. It can turn around on a dime. Now let's look at the charts on EOG. You can see that it's been moving up. If you take a look at your 240, doesn't that look very overbought? I love to see that. But if you glance down at a 30, you notice that it ran up at the open Friday and then it went flat. So it's at a point now where it could do a retracement. Absolutely. So we have a short trigger on it. Could it keep going up? It could. Anything can happen. But right now it is overbought on the midterm charts and could easily roll. I like setups that like this because they can go either way. And let's not discount what the markets themselves are doing. They have a huge amount to do with how stocks move. On days when we're having a rally, virtually everything runs up. You've noticed that. On days that are super negative, almost everything will go down, except maybe gold stocks or the contrarian stocks. You know, while I'm on the process of putting this broadcast together, an email came in from a graduate from several years ago, I guess, and he mentions that he would like to get together. He needs extensive help. He's been a Forex trader, wants to switch to stocks and options. There's a lot of this sort of thing that goes on. You may be one of our graduates. You've been away from it for a while, or you want to make a change, or you need to tune yourself up a little bit, and you'd like to work with somebody for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours. Well, up to a few years ago, I used to handle that. But we're now in a situation where between the trading during the day and doing setups to 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, I no longer can devote that kind of time to coaching. And that's why we have Mike Mizunas. You will see Mike's blurb on the PTS radio page, his contact information. Mike is certified by PTS. In fact, I met Mike at the very first PTS course. We became friends and we traded together for years. He is an excellent teacher. He's an excellent diagnostician. He's helped a lot of people. We've received many, many emails letting us know at PTS what a wonderful job Mike has done. In fact, he worked with somebody a few weeks ago who couldn't win and then had a $2,000 week. So this sort of thing has become rather routine. He's good at it. And I suggest you get in touch with Mike if you're a PTS graduate and you'd like to get some personal attention. It's well worth the time. Mike will send you an email with all the details. Just write to him. I do want to encourage you, by the way, to go ahead and send in questions. Get them in early this week. This is going to be this is crunch time for us. Whenever we have a course coming, it's crunch time. We have a lot of work to do between now and next Sunday. So if you have questions and we want to get the broadcast planned, send them to PTS_support@comcast.net. We'd be glad to answer them. We'd be glad to evaluate trades for you. We'd be glad to answer trading questions. We look forward to getting your questions. I hope you have a wonderful week in the markets. It's very volatile now, and this is a very good opportunity, as you can see from the setups, to make lots of money. It's going to get even better, I think. Have a great week. This is your host, Mel Raymond, and I look forward to seeing you in the markets.